More than 25 years ago, when Sandy Patty started a blended family, she had no way of knowing the challenges that would be ahead for her.
You know, blended families are all born out of loss, whether it's the death of a spouse and remarriage or death of a marriage and a remarriage, but it's always born out of loss. For our situation, it was also born out of brokenness. We have reasons, but there's no blame that lays with anyone but the two of us.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You can find us online at familylifetoday.com. We'll hear today from Sandy Patty and her husband Don Peslis about what it's like to start a marriage and a family when both of you are in the middle of a season of great brokenness. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. Those of our listeners who are of a certain age...
That's a good way to put it.
...will recognize the name Sandy Patty. I mean, I remember the first time I heard Sandy Patty on the radio, and I thought, what a voice. Mm-hmm. Just amazing. I saw her in concerts throughout the 80s. By that time, she was already a Grammy and Dove Award-winning artist. And then all of a sudden, at the beginning of the 90s, things got derailed for her because there was a divorce, there was infidelity, and her image, her career, her public persona, everything...
Tarnished.
It did get tarnished.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, that may be the last they've heard of Sandy Patty when that happened. We're going to hear an update.
Sort of the rest of the story.
Exactly.
Yeah. People of a certain age will recognize that reference as well. Our Ron Deal, who gives leadership to Family Life Blended, had the opportunity to visit not long ago with Sandy and her husband, Don Peslis, who have formed a blended family out of the ashes of what happened in Sandy's life and career. They talked about this on Ron's podcast, which is called Family Life Blended. If you're in a blended family or know someone who is and you're not yet listening to the Family Life Blended podcast, go to our website, familylifetoday.com. Ron's got a number of episodes. These are so helpful, so good. And Ron spent time with Don and Sandy walking through what happens when a blended family is formed in the middle of shame and guilt and condemnation that is all very public.
I think you'll appreciate their openness and honesty.
Don, Sandy, you know, this isn't true for everyone in a blended family by any means, but sometimes folks in a blended family, their family came about because of less than ideal circumstances. Sometimes it was an unhealthy or unwise choice. Sometimes it was a sinful choice. But we believe and we know that there is hope in Christ. There is forgiveness in Christ. And like all sin, there is redemption beyond our worst moments. Now, having said that, you guys got started off on the wrong foot. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. We've often said, you know, blended families are all born out of loss, whether it's the death of a spouse and remarriage or death of a marriage and a remarriage, but it's always born out of loss. For our situation, it was also born out of brokenness. We have reasons, but there's no blame that lays with anyone but the two of us. And as we were traveling on the road together and just developed a friendship, that friendship became much more than it should be with outside of marriage. And there was so much that I loved watching Don with kids, and he just loved on my kids as we traveled. And there was just so much respect, and I didn't understand boundaries like I do now. And we just found ourselves in a situation that we just never thought we would find ourselves in. And as our marriages, other marriages were ending, we just kind of overlapped the process and I don't smirk at that lightly. I'm just, these are hard words to say, I think, for both of us. But I think that Don and I want to share pieces of our story that can encourage, not excuse other people or give them an easy out, but to encourage them that in their brokenness, they're not alone. And there are people who've walked ahead of them and can offer some words of advice. And a friend of mine once said, if you're going to make a mistake, at least make a new one. Learn from ours.
Learn from other people. So even now, Sandy, you were telling me 25 years you guys have been married.
25.
It's still difficult talking about that season of your life. Don, is it still hard for you?
It is hard because it's always hard when the kids were little. We talked about when you mess up, fess up. So that's a great thing. And it's so hard because the enemy wants us when we mess up to keep us away from redemption. And, you know, really the Lord is saying, hey, He's the author of making things and taking broken relationships and broken things and making something beautiful come out of that. But absolutely, Ron, we could have, you know, hindsight, I don't know, I wish I had said it, but hindsight's always 20/20. And it's really great when things can have a proper ending and then new things can have a proper beginning. But sometimes it doesn't work out that way. So absolutely, as we look back and if couples find themselves in this, as we did, you know, the last thing we want you to do is stay away from the church or the Lord, because He wants us to bring ourselves and our process, and He can help sift through with love all of that. And so, yes, it is difficult, but yet, Ron, it's not, because to say God wasn't there in the midst of it, He was there and redeeming even through the roughest of times. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And really, that is so important for people to remember. You know, one of the things I really appreciate about you guys and your willingness to talk about this is because I often find, well, everybody who's honest looks in the rearview mirror and says, man, I've blown it so many times. There is so many sins. I could see the consequences. Mm. And sometimes the ripples just keep going from the sin and the choices that we've made in the past. If we're honest and if we're humble before God, which is always the posture that we should have, not just when we come in faith, but to walk in faith every single day, mm-hmm. we have to own that about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the point is, in owning that, we also submit ourselves to the redemptive work of Jesus.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
And yet, we can hold shame over ourselves. We can beat ourselves up. We can live in a place where we cannot celebrate who we are today in Christ. And I think that's really unfortunate. I love that we're talking about you guys 25 years later, faithful, loving, committed to one another, moving forward, both deeply involved in ministry, in the circles God has put you. Your children are involved in ministry. All kinds of things are happening with them now as adults. And you can hold your head up.
Yes. I'm going to say yes, question mark, because it's so easy to pull that shame back out from the foot of the cross. Hmm. How do we pull the story that can encourage without pulling the shame that keeps us down? There are just things that, you know, I wish we both wish, and not just in this situation, but other, I wish I could have said something differently. Just this week, to one of my kids, I said something that was not meant at all to be insensitive. And yet the minute I said it, it was like, you know, I wish I could take that back. I can't take that back. All I can do, and I think this is what Don and I have really tried to do, is when God really finally got our attention and kind of said, we need to take care of some stuff first, if we're even going to move on. Mm. And that was to walk through, along with our church body in Indiana, mm-hmm. a biblical steps of restoration. The recognition, you just have to own it. You just go, yes, I recognize. And then you have to repent. And that doesn't mean just saying, I'm sorry. It means changing, turn around. Mm. Then there's restitution. And I think a lot of times we forget about restitution. Going to people, saying the words that you've got to say. And we, you know, had quite a list of people that separately and individually together we went to. And then reconnecting with a group of people who are going to hold you accountable, who are going to walk with you. Walking with someone doesn't always mean you agree with everything they've done. It means you're going to stand with them. You're going to encourage them to just do the next right thing. And then the fifth one is restoration closure. That's the hard one for me, because there does come a time when you've done all that to leave it at the foot of the cross. And I think that's what I was talking about. It's when do we pick the story up without picking the shame up? Sometimes that's a very deliberate picture image in my mind, especially when I'm tired or I've been on the road, or those get really sticky together. And just even coming, to be real honest, even coming into this interview and chat with you today, I've found that it just in a few moments, I've had to just stop and say, just pick up the story. Don't pick up the shame. If I don't believe that God has forgiven me in this, I don't believe He forgives.
We're going to step in here. We've been listening to an excerpt from Ron Deal's Family Life Blended podcast, a conversation he had with Sandy Patty and her husband, Don Pestlis, talking about their blended family. Of course, many of our listeners know Sandy from her recording career and her concerts, and she was very transparent here about the reality of a marriage that began in less than desirable circumstances, and a marriage where it's born out of a cauldron of shame. And you just think about the impact. If you're walking in trying to form a new marriage and there's this mantle of shame that you're carrying with you every day, hard to start a relationship like
and
that.
Not only that, but even to walk through that with your kids, knowing the shame, the embarrassment, that's a heavy thing to carry. But I love her line, just pick up the story, don't pick up the shame.
You know, she's so honest there at the end that I think sometimes the hardest person to forgive is yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, as hard as it is to forgive someone that deeply hurt you, to look in the mirror and carry that shame and realize God died for that. He removes it. You have to appropriate that to live it.
I think maybe my favorite hymn verse in all of hymnody, there's a second verse to a hymn, the hymn Before the Throne of God Above. The second verse says, "When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me." And that's the message of the gospel that all of us come back to, whether you're sin was big and bold and public, or whether it was private and nobody knows but you and God. We've all got it in our background, and we all stand equally condemned apart from God's saving grace in our lives. Mm. We're going to listen to a second excerpt from Ron Deal's conversation with Don and Sandy Pestlis. Again, this is part of the Family Life Blended podcast series. You can go to familylifetoday.com to listen to this entire episode or listen to other episodes from Ron's podcast. But in this second segment, Don and Sandy talk about processing shame and how to think about it correctly, think about it biblically.
I was in full-time ministry at the time and really took a time from 92 to 2012 till my current senior pastor, Marty Grubbs, and I sat down. I was on the 35th floor of the Petroleum Club. I had come to Oklahoma City for an entirely different vocation, but God was a part of all of that process, that redemptive 20 years, really. And I likened it to putting on a letter jacket with a big A on it. And the enemy stood there every day saying, "Here's your letter jacket as you're getting ready to go to work. Now let's put our jacket on. our jacket of shame, mm-hmm. okay? Because he can keep us down.
Yes.
If we don't tell our story, if we don't share with others, that's the only place God's redemptive, miraculous grace can be seen. So if the enemy, do the math, if the enemy keeps us from sharing and keeps us from talking and keeps us with the jacket of shame on, nobody hears currently about all of us that are broken, what God has done for all of us to redeem us. So it took Marty Grubbs to say to me in 2012, hey, Don, why don't you stop putting on that jacket? You know, and we grade sin. You know, yes. We'll say, well, that's an A-plus sin. Oh, well, that's a B-minus. We're going to give him a C-plus on that. Any missing of the mark is a missing of the mark. And if the enemy can keep us, I'm not minimizing here, but I'm saying the light is better. The light is good. Let's walk in the light as he is in the light.
That's right.
And then the blood of Christ can cleanse us, you see.
At the end of the day, what you're talking about is what everybody listening has to do day in and day out about whatever our sin narrative is.
Every one of us, Ron.
Whether it was one of the A-plus sins or a C-minus sin.
Right, exactly.
I mean, a major prophets, minor prophets.
Yes. Now, sometimes the shaking the shame, shaking the consequences of our sin.
Oh, but there are always consequences, Ron.
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
Exactly.
Always.
But shaking the shame depends on whether it was an A-plus or a C-minus sin. It does. You know, different things carry a different amount of baggage with them. But I am just sitting here so grateful that you're doing what you're doing, even as we're talking. I just have to say, the secular world of neuroscience in the last 10 years has studied shame a lot. And what all the experts have come down to is exactly what you guys have just said and demonstrated for us right now. They talk about you tell your story, right? You guys said you have to recognize and you have to take responsibility for it. Mm-hmm. You have to verbally tell the narrative. That's called confession. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have to recognize what's there and the pain that it brings you. You can't run away from it. You got to own it. You got to deal with it. You got to repent. You got to change your heart. You got to make restitution. You got to reconnect to a community. Community is so important to helping alleviate shame when others are coming along and affirming us, like your pastor saying, take off your coat. It's time. You can do this. It's all right. We're with you. You're worthwhile. You're valuable. All of that stuff is so important. And then one of the biggest pieces they talk about is just practicing putting down the shame.
Yeah.
And I just watched Sandy do that. She just said, I have to remind myself, even now,
That's right.
I can leave it there and it's not mine to pick up. So everything God has told us is exactly what we need to do to wrestle with what we feel is left over from the past.
Indeed. And when Paul says putting the past behind and looking towards what is ahead, I really think that he's not meaning just forget it, minimize it, bury it, because we bury it alive if we do that. But to put it in its proper place, understand it, and we can give you a lot of reasons. I can give you a lot of reasons that I was not able to make healthy, good choices. They're still not excuses. Mm-hmm. And
no.
We have to understand, though, why, so we don't do them again,
mm-hmm.
putting our past behind so we can move ahead.
You know, I had a thought a minute ago as you were talking. I think regret is different than feeling like God can't love you. But sometimes those get confusing to us. Like, we can have regrets over something we did, something we said in the past. It's different when we say that mistake makes it impossible for God to love us.
Yeah. My dear friend Sheila Walsh, she says something really powerful, and it's about guilt and shame. Says guilt tells us we've done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Shame says we are the something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of what you're saying, mm-hmm. Ron, is there's normal conviction of the Holy Spirit of, you know, that uneasiness when we know we've hurt someone that we've just got to have a conversation. And then there's that I am just unworthy to even be in the conversation about what it means to be loved.
Right. And that's what we put on ourselves. That's the enemy. talking to us, where we're now doubting God's ability to love in spite of us. We're now doubting God's ability to forgive based on our past. And we're listening more to what others are saying and what the enemy is saying to us than we're listening to what God has promised to do. And it is so easy to do that. I mean, I think every one of us can relate to that, especially people who are trying to walk in the light. Like, you really are wanting to do what's right.
Yeah.
But the minute you cross that line into, I'm now unworthy, I'm unforgivable, we've lost sight, really, of Christ's sacrifice.
Yeah. Somebody asks, I get asked a lot in interviews, what would make my life richer? And it's always the same answer, that I really, really believe when God's word says, I love you with an everlasting love, that he just means that, period. Like, if I really woke up every day, how would I live my day out differently if I really believed he was not going to stop loving me? I think I'm closer to that than I used to be, but I'm still not there.
Well, again, we've been listening to an excerpt from Ron Deal's Family Life Blended podcast, a conversation he had with Sandy Patty and her husband, Don Pestless, about their marriage, about the brokenness that was there at the beginning, and about God's healing work in their marriage. And that message of hope is a message that a lot of marriages need today.
As I listened to Sandy, I was struck by how we're so conditional in our love for one another that it really is hard to understand and grasp God's unconditional love for us.
I thought the same thing. I thought his grace is truly amazing. And I have to agree with her. I don't know if I understand it fully either. And I've been walking 40-some years, and it's like, am I really, really that loved in the middle of my brokenness? And the answer is yes.
Hmm.
If I lived that, you'd be so free.
Yeah.
You know, and you'd run to the Savior because you know he's smiling.
And I think of the Apostle Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, where he says that we, being rooted and grounded in love, would have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you can be filled with all the fullness of God. That'd be our prayer for every listener today. And in fact, I hope our listeners will go to our website, familylifetoday.com, to hear Ron Deal's entire conversation with Sandy Patty and Don Pestless, and hear them talk about how they have come to a place where they can now celebrate what God has done in their marriage by his grace, in spite of how it all began. And hear more about the blending of their two families with a house that eventually had 8 kids, including 3 7-year-olds at the same time. Go to familylifetoday.com for information about Ron Deal's Family Life Blended podcast and a link to this particular episode. And there's also information on our website about an event that is going on right now. In fact, it's been going on yesterday and today, the Summit on Step Family Ministry, which we've been doing online this year. People have been watching from all over the world, listening to speakers like Ron and Nan Deal, Ed Stetzer, Laura Petherbridge, Rob Boo, Ted Lowe, others who are joining us this year to help equip people to more effectively know how to minister to people in blended families. And you can connect with this event today and have access to what has already happened. Go to familylifetoday.com to register for the Summit on Step Family Ministry. When you register, you'll not only be able to join what's going on live today, but you'll be able to review what's already happened, go back and view it again. In fact, you'll have access to all of this content for a full year. So find out more about the Summit on Step Family Ministry happening right now. Go to familylifetoday.com for more information, or call us if you have any questions. 1-800-FL-TODAY is the number, 1-800-358 1-800-FAMILY-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. And by the way, thank you to those of you who make Family Life Today possible. You also make events like this Summit on Step Family Ministries possible. All of our events, our resources, our website, our broadcast, our podcast, everything we do at Family Life is fueled by people like you who say this kind of practical biblical help and hope for our marriages really does matter. So thank you for your support of this ministry. If you're a regular Family Life Today listener and you've never made a donation, why don't you make today the day that you join the team? Go to familylifetoday.com to donate or call 1-800-FL-TODAY and make a donation over the phone. And we look forward to having you as a part of the family that helps make Family Life Today possible. And we hope you have a great weekend. Hope that somehow, some way, you and your family are able to worship together in your local church this weekend. And I hope you can join us on Monday when we're going to talk to Mez McConnell. He lives in Scotland, and he shares with us what it was like for him growing up in a home where he pretty regularly knew his stepmother was going to be physically abusive toward him. We'll talk to Mez on Monday. Hope you can be with us for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.